Okay, we are continuing our learning of Rav Huttner's beautiful classic Sefer Ein Hayah, which appears both in Maseches Brachos and Maseches Shabbos as well. And Rav Kook quotes and talks about a very famous Gemara in Maseches Brachos, and this idea of Rav Kook is not a huge chiddush, and can be found in other places as well. The Gemara says on Chav Chesem Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, says Tanur Rabbanan, Shimon Hapakuli Hisdir Shmones Rebrachos Livnei Rabban Gamliel Al Haseder B'Yavne. Rabbi Shimon Hapakuli arranged, organized 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei Livnei Rabban Gamliel, namely like he laid it out in front of Rabban Gamliel Al Haseder B'Yavne. Okay, and what those words mean, Al Haseder is a discussion of the Rishonim, but either way, 18 brachos to Shmona Esrei. So Amar Lahem, Rabban Gamliel L'Chachamim, even early on, there's a realization that there was a need for a different bracha, and another bracha, namely, Klum Yesh Adam She'odeya L'Sakein Bircha Samidim. Is there anyone who knows how to be Mesakein, the bracha, which asks for, and is Mispalo for, the downfall of those people who were minim, those people who were the non-believers who were antagonistic towards Klal Yisrael. And we know that concept of minim, and who the minim were. Were they early Christians? Were they other people? But the idea of like a min comes up constantly. For instance, we know that earlier on, Maseches Brachos, it says that if a person says modim modim mishakinoso, that if he says I moda to you, we are concerned that maybe that person is a min, right? So these minim were like everywhere, and to some degree, you know, all of Jewish history has been marked by minim of different sorts, whether it's apostates during the Middle Ages, whether it was very aggressive maskilim in the 19th century. You know, sort of these people that were trying in a way to diminish and to destroy Jewish practice. So who could write a bracha of Olam Malshinim? So Yared Shmuel Katan V'tiknam. So Shmuel HaKatan went down and he was misakein that bracha. And then the Gemara says, L'shana Acheres, Shichcha V'hishkif V'gimel V'gimel Shalos V'lohelu. They forgot the bracha, they couldn't sort of recall it. Etc. Okay, so there's a question that all the Mefarshim discuss as to why it was that it was this Shmuel Katan that was chosen, right? I mean, Rabbi Leo says, is there no one who could write this bracha of Olam Malshinim? Why would writing the bracha of Olam Malshinim Alti Sikva, why would that be so difficult, you know, more so than the other brachos? So finally, they had to find Shmuel Katan and to sort of bring him in and write the bracha. So I'm sure this is a Rav Kook that maybe you're familiar with, but let me read to you the this beautiful idea by Rav Kook. It's only about 15 lines long. So he says, HaBrachos shel klal hatfilos shehem meleos v'chesed v'yava. The brachos of tefillah in general are filled with meleos v'chesed v'yava. He's sort of filled with beauty and geula and yeshua, and promises for reward, and speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for the Jewish people, etc. So a bracha like that, that is filled with chesed and ava, kol adam chacham haro'i lemala romima kzos, any person, any chacham who is ra'oi for this maila, you know, somebody that can write a bracha, be part of Shemona Esrei, romima, this elevated status, but anybody, ra'ihu li'aruch Tfilos kavuos legoy kadosh v'yam chacham menavon, is appropriate to la'aroch, to lay out and to establish and to concretize tfilos kavuos, set tfilos legoy kadosh v'yam chacham menavon, and for a wise nation. But that's true by normal brachos. But amnam hatfila shebesocha atzurim Dvarim shosina umesitma, tefilos that are inside of it, integrated inside of that tefila, atzurim shabesocha atzurim are the are the warehouses of and hold within them Dvarim Shel Sinah, things of hatred and of rejection and of destruction. Tzricha Lavo Dafka Midlev Shekulo Tahor V'Kadosh Hashem can only come from a person whose heart is Kulo Tahor V'Kodesh Hashem, totally pure and holy to God. Sheteva Hasina Ein B'Levavo Klal, that the nature of sinna, the essence of sinna, the personality of sinna, that person does not have it in his heart at all. V'rak mipnei hataklis haklalis shechasra latzeis aidei takalas harishayim hamachshilim, and only because of the taklis haklalis, the general need that might come about through the takalas harishayim, through the behavior and through the takala of the rishayim, only because of that can that person, that pure soul, Yeaser El Hashem, only can he beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahatof osam, to push them away and to destroy them. Aval im yishaer b'livavo eza regesh kodehu. If the person who is writing such a tefillah has any regesh of sinat tivis, of just fundamental, natural hatred that person has in his soul, mipnei ha'isnagdus ha'tivis, because of some natural oppositional quality. Shafshihi kodesh l'Hashem paskalasa, that person who would write such a tefillah, or would be punitive, or would be, rejecting or destroying somebody else or something else, if that person has any sinna in his teva, shaf shehi kodesh l'Hashem baskalasa, even though he starts off with the intention of being kadosh, because he's doing this Hashem Shemayim, mikomakom tigaver b'leiv lios gamkein l'sinna tiv'is chutz mishur es haseichel. Nevertheless, that person who, let's say, who would write a bracha v'olam hashinim, that person who would be judge and jury, that person who would be punitive, nevertheless, even though you think you're acting l'shem shemayim, and you begin l'shem shemayim, mikomakom tigaver b'leiv, it's going to grow in one's heart, lios gamkein l'sina tivis, if your natural instinct or inclination, if you have any sinna inside of you, and then I write a bracha speaking about punishing other people. So eventually all that's going to do is trigger and animate and highlight and reveal and expand my own natural sinna. If I have that quality inside of me and then I punish somebody else, if I have that quality inside of me and then I, for whatever reason, feel that I need to hit one of my children, or if I feel like I need to punish somebody, all that's going to do, even though it's Shem Shemayim, all that can do over a period of time is expand and amplify my natural sinna tivis, my natural base, fundamental hatred. So chutz mishuras haseichel, in a way that goes beyond the bounds of seichel, right? Meaning I start off thinking rationally that I'm writing a bracha for the malshinim. I think rationally that I'm going off to destroy enemies, killing people in battle. But if I have a nature already that's bloodthirsty, so then all that's going to do is amplify that, and then that's going to go beyond the shuras haseichel, just sort of the rational thinking about the matter. V'hinei amad Shmuel Katan v'tikna. Shmuel Katan stood up and he was misakin the bracha. V'raku b'emes ro'ila. Only Shmuel Katan really could be the person to write that tefillah, ki hu ha'ish asher darish tamid, that he's the person that said in various places in Shas, b'nefolo yivecha tismach, even when your enemies fall, you should not rejoice. And obviously there's a question which is discussed in Megillah and Sanhedrin and Pesachim and other places about the nature or the allowance of joy and celebration when our enemies fall. But he believed, and he was the author of the idea of in folei vechal tismach, v'hisir kol regesh sinam l'vavo gamol sonei nafsho. And he was able to, over the course of his life, remove any regesh, any feeling of sinna, of hatred, milavavo, from his heart. Even those people who hated him, he felt no hatred towards that person. When he would be misarer, when he would become aroused to write the bracha l'minim, lo timsaba kiela rikshe lev tahor. In that bracha are only rikshe lev tahor, are the stirrings of a pure heart, done besechel, done thoughtfully, done mindfully, right? Not just coming from some negative place. L'tachlis hatov hamiti chali, really just for the purpose of doing good in the world. If a person has any element themselves of sinna, so they can't engage in activities that can further trigger and amplify those midos. It's a similar discussion that we know the Gemara talks about in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Samechei, that speaks about the idea that a person is allowed to be mishana b'pnei hashtalom, which I guess, without going into the whole sugya, means lying for the sake of peace. We're changing truth for the sake of peace. And of course, we know that's found in several places, including Ksuvos Daf Yud Zayin, that speaks about Kesa Meratna Lifnei HaKala, Kala Nov Chasuda, that you're allowed to speak about the great virtues and the beauty of the Kala, even when she is not perhaps beautiful, according to the Shita Beis Hillel. And the Ritva discusses why is that not a problem of lying, and he says this is a case of Mishana Mipnei HaShalom, and therefore causes for shalom, the words perhaps are true of what was being said. Okay? And there's a whole sugi about that concept of Mishana Mipnei HaShalom. Rav Kook has a comment on the Gemara there in Ksuvos that perhaps the Havamina would be that the only person that can rely on this heter of Mishana Mipnei HaShalom is a person who has no tendencies towards lying in the first place. He has no yearning towards lying. He has no connection to lying. It's not something that at all is like a Yetzirah for him. So that person can rely on the Heter Mishana Mipnei HaShalom and know that he's doing so both L'Haschala and L'Sofa, both in his reasons, in his rationale, and in the outgrowth. He's doing so just L'Shalom. He's doing so just for the sake of peace and happiness. But if a person knows for himself that he already has a tendency towards lying, and then he may lie Mishana Mipnei HaShalom, he may lie for the sake of peace, and it is for the sake of peace, but all that's going to do is amplify his natural tendencies toward sheker and shinoi in the first place. And therefore, maybe you would say that person can't afford that. He can't rely on that. So if Kook said actually L'maskana in that Gemara, that even though misvara, that's true, once the Gemara says, the first can be Mishana Mipnei HaShalom, so we know there's that heter there. In fact, we know the Gemara says in Yevamos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishana Mipnei HaShalom. So, but the svara that Rav Kook used was exactly the same. Now, obviously, Rav Kook's message is so impactful for us to, A, first and foremost, to know ourselves very, very well, to know what our strengths are, to know what our tendencies are, to know what our weaknesses are, to know where our Yetzirah lies. And then, on a very personal level, to craft a tochnit, almost a program in Avodas Hashem that is miyaches, that deals with me, my own strengths and weaknesses and tendencies. And perhaps somebody else could afford to do X, Y, and Z, but for me, I can't do that. Or perhaps the other person struggles in X, and therefore he needs to stay away from any type of almost an angry reaction to something. But for me, perhaps that would be appropriate. And how we navigate issues with perhaps one's children. We don't punish from a place of internal sinna or internal hatred or animosity or opposition. We say, you know what, this is a child that deserves a certain type of punishment. And to do so, belev naki, and with love and with seichel, right? So this idea of Rav Kook, of knowing what our qualities are and knowing what we can or can't do, which is going to either be either misakein or amplify those qualities, or something which is so critical, so relevant, bizmanenu, and has many applications in a whole host of areas in Avodas Hashem. Thank you so much. Look forward to continuing to learn together.